It's dark in here. Hey guys, I'm gonna play this music down. How we doing? Thank you. My handy sound tech who I keep hidden in the dungeon in the back. How we doing, guys? Confused, not really sure if come to see, totally understandable. So, let me just introduce myself. My name's Matt Harvey. I'll be hosting this with my trusted co-host, Mr. Martin Eller. He'll be out in a second. I'd give you a little rundown of what you're going to see today. So today, we've got a couple of guests who are all doing festival shows, right? So they'll all come out, they'll do a little spot for you, and then we'll have a little bit of a chat about their festival show, and we'll round it all off at the end with a silly little news quiz. The only excuse for that is so we can give a couple of tickets away to see their shows. So you guys may be lucky enough to walk away with a couple of free tickets tonight. So, not exciting to you at all. I see how it is. It's fine. You just like say the funny shit. No, I get it. I'll dance for you. That's fine. My name is Matt Harvey, as I already expressed. And look, guys, I have found out through my years of doing comedy that I am a very hard to Google name. A very hard to Google name because it's ridiculously common. It's like such a common name that it is pages and pages and pages into Google before. Before it's even signed of me. I did a Google search this afternoon just to confirm that I'm still not number one on Google. That is accurate. the number one Matt Harvey on Google is currently a Major League Baseball player. Never going to beat that guy. Never. Unless I commit a mass murder. So thank you all for coming out to help me. Why do you think there was cheap tickets, guys? Come on. I'm going to get to number one on Google, even if it's just for a day. It's a fleeting fame, but I'll take it. That's that guy. I'm never going to beat that guy, which is it's a little upsetting. There's also another comedian named Matt Harvey who is more famous than I am. Yeah, you're right to laugh. The reason I know he's more famous than I am is because I know who he is, but he doesn't know who I am. And that's textbook fame, guys. That is textbook fame. But there's also a poet named Matt Harvey who is more famous than I am. And look, guys, this is show business. Like, we're here in a festival. I feel like I'm not doing what I need to do to make it in show business, because I feel like the minimum requirement for show business is being more Googleable than a poet. You know? Minimum requirement. No, that's fine. So that's me, that's who I am. I'm going to welcome my co-host to the stage. I'm not going to eat up too much of your time, so please put your hands together, make him feel welcome, Mr. Marty Adder. He was there the whole time.
What's that? Oh, that's loud. Who's the sound tech here? Oh, that's right, me.
Yeah, right. You.
Let me fix that.
How you doing, Marty?
I'm well.
Well?
How we doing? Thanks for coming out.
We've established that they're woo.
Oh, they're woo. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
They're woo.
Thanks for coming out, guys. Thanks for giving us a chance. All we want is a chance, guys. That's all I got.
That's everything?
Yeah.
That's, you've had all day to prepare.
Thanks, guys.
This is why I work alone. No, you're in for a good time. It's basically the guests that you come to see. It's not us.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
We are
this
conduits.
Is this is filler.
We are a conduit to the guests.
I am a conduit.
Yeah. No, because that's exactly like I said. This is what they call professional.
Well, it's their job.
Yeah, but we're doing it professionally.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah. So has anyone in the crowd seen anything in the festival yet? Anyone? There's no. You have. What have you seen?
All kinds.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
Well, we saw Isabella Belair.
Oh, Isabella Belair. How is she? She's great. I like her a lot.
Yeah,
she's very funny.
Really quirky.
Very quirky.
I loved her.
Good. All right. So add that to your list, guys. Isabella Belair. Hi, Viz is the name of the show, right?
Yeah. Hi, Visabella.
Yeah, I knew it was a good pun. And there was lots of head shaking over here, so like nobody else is committed to the week of festival that we've made.
They were waiting for this show.
They were waiting for us.
The comedy festival hasn't started yet. Tonight is the first night.
I feel like Will Anderson would disagree. I feel like he's been doing all right. Right. So instead of eating up too much more of your time, let's get started. I might bring our first guest to the stage. I love him a lot. He's a local. He's a Melbourne boy, and he's all over the Melbourne scene. So if you do support local comedy, please go out and check him out. Please make him feel welcome on the stage, Mr. Eli Landis.
Yeah.
Thanks, boys. It's really nice to be here. I've done 4 or 5 shows of my festival show, and it's really exciting because me and my co-hosts were talking about that if I do a festival show, I might get a girlfriend. And it's quite exciting because I walked into my first show, and sitting in the front row was my grandma and just 9 white guys. So I don't think I'm going to get a girlfriend, just like the saddest Congo line ever. That's kind of cool. I will try and tell you something a little bit romantic that did happen to me. I was on a date quite recently, and we went to St. Kilda Beach, and thank you very much. That's how I write jokes in my head. I'm at home, and then I get some murder in the back of my head. We were down at the beach, and it was a very beautiful situation. The sun was sort of resting on the ocean. The wind was whispering through this girl's hair. And I realized in this moment that I really cared about this girl, and I wanted to share that with her, but I didn't want to say it directly. I wanted to share something vulnerable about myself. So I smiled, I looked at her, and I looked at the ocean, and I said, I'm actually really afraid of the water. And she smiled, and she looked at me, and she tucked some hair behind my ear, and just as she leant in to kiss me, she whispered, "That's because you drowned in a past life." It's a very confronting thing, realizing someone's mentally not well as they're leaning in to kiss you. Because you don't have a lot of time to weigh up the situation. But I feel like that's something hippies do a lot. They sort of casually slip in some really intense cosmological information. Like, they'll just be in the kitchen preparing dinner, they're like, "I think I want to die and come back as a potato." It's like, really? You don't want to discuss that first? But I wasn't attracted to this girl anymore. And I wanted to reject her, but I wanted to do it on her level. So just as she had told me that I had drowned in a past life and leant in to kiss me, I leant in to kiss her, and then right before our lips touched, I whispered, "Not possible, because I was a salmon." And then I kissed her as her entire spiritual doctrine just fell apart. It was sexy for me. I do believe in past lives, though. I don't actually think that I was a salmon. I reckon in a past life I was Farlap. And for those of you who don't know, Farlap was a very successful Australian New Zealander racehorse that died tragically. The rumour was that he was poisoned by Chinese horse trainers. And the reason that I think that I was Farlap in a past life is because Farlap had an extraordinarily large heart. And I can really relate to that, because I'm very, very sensitive, and I've got a lot of feelings, and I get very, very sad. I also love a good carrot. I don't like it when people walk up behind me. Whenever I'm at nightclubs, I never accept drinks from Chinese businessmen. I say, "Sorry, boys, this dame is just here to dance." And I do a little shuffle, which I'm not going to show you guys. But I got a lot of these things. I got very low self-esteem. Does anyone have low self-esteem? All of you? That's cool. We're sharing. That's cool. But it's actually quite positive, because in today's day and age, there's actually a lot of things you can do to improve that stuff. Like, for instance, you could do yoga, or you could do mindfulness meditation, or you could say positive affirmations to yourself in the morning. And that's where you look in the mirror and you say, "Hey, you can do this." But I think the best thing that you can do in today's day and age to improve your self-esteem is to simply just become a full Buddhist and then kill yourself and then come back as someone else. This guy's my 4th attempt. It's not going so well. But I have tried a lot of the things. I tried doing yoga, and in yoga we focused on positive manifestation and positive thinking. And for a period of time, it was actually working. I was actually feeling pretty good about myself. But after a while, I realized that what I was doing was I was taking very real emotions and burying them behind a fake new identity. And when you realize this, you look into the eyes of the yoga instructor and you can see that they've murdered themselves and then hid the body inside their own skin. That's why they tell you to relate to your mind like a passing river, because that's where you're going to dump the body. Yeah. Okay, I want you to get some feelings, and I want you to place them into this sack with some bricks. and I do all things. But I've got a lot of feelings inside, though. Essentially, my skin, thank you very much, my skin has become like a damn wall. And I think ultimately that's the reason why I'm so afraid to fart in front of my girlfriends. Like, on the one hand, I am afraid to reveal bodily function, but more than anything else, I'm just worried my asshole might go, save me from my feelings. Because that's where your farts are. They're a sign that you're a human, that you've got vulnerabilities. It's a sign of humility. And I think that's ultimately the reason why your farts sound like a brass instrument. It's because your asshole is playing the blues. I mean, there are some people in the world that don't fart. There are these very sexy, attractive people that don't fart. Essentially, what happens is every time gas builds up in one of these sexy people, the universe reassigns it in an act of homeostasis, and a volcano just erupts in the third world. I didn't make that rule. I will tell you one more thing, a little bit romantic. Okay. Whenever I develop feelings for a girl, I fall into a very deep reverie where I imagine our whole lives together. For instance, the other day I went into a cafe and I ordered a cafe latte from the barista, and I immediately developed this crush on her, and I fell into this dream state. We went on our first date. We had our first kiss, and it was a successful day. We developed a relationship together. I met a family, and I got along terribly well with her brother, which was gorgeous. We went on a holiday. We went to Prague, which was a real highlight. I don't know if you guys have been to Prague. And then we came home, and we settled down roots, and we grew up together. And in something beautiful yet tragic, she actually grew ill, and she passed away. Anyway, the next day I went into the cafe and I asked out this barista, and she told me that I wasn't her type. It's a very confronting thing being told you're not someone's type just after you sat by their bed through cancer. Like, I never remarried. Surely that makes us compatible. Okay, I'm going to leave everyone. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed
it. Eli Landon! He's been great. No, you wouldn't be here if I didn't absolutely love you, Shiro. So it's like, yeah, right, let's talk about your show first. What show are you doing?
It's called Did We Just Become Best Friends? It's with myself, Mimi Shaheen, and Simon Carter. And that was an earnest question that we asked each other when we developed our friendship, but it's a moving quote, unfortunately, which we kind of have afterwards.
That's very unfortunate. Yeah. And when is it?
We've had four shows. We've got one more. This Monday, and then the next two Saturdays.
Right, and when?
At the Loot Bar, which is in my ex-place.
Does anyone know where the Loot Bar is? I know it's hard to find. It's like down a little alleyway, and you go. So it's like near Spleen, right?
You can kind of see it from here, the corner.
You can see it from
here.
Yeah. You're up on the rooftop bar, and you look down. You basically see the Loot Bar.
Yeah, just across the street.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous little alleyway, and it's worth checking out if any of you are tourists anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Very pretty. Now, see, what I loved listening to you, I think one of my favorite things about festivals, before I get to complimenting you, is that, because obviously we're just back there, but half the audience can see us just like chilling back there. And I don't know how distracting it is for them, but I'm just like, at least I can see you smiling. It's nice, you're having a good time. I don't know if you classify yourself in the same manner, but you've got very like philosophical absurdism going on that I quite enjoy.
Yeah, right. It's not an active intention. I think it's just, I want to talk about my feelings and share them.
And you're a man, and you're not allowed to.
Well, yeah, I think you need that sort of defensive vehicle to get it out there. Because
right.
If I just came up here and I shat my pants and I said, help me, then I think that would be like a little too intense.
That's more fringe.
Yeah.
Definitely
more fringe.
If I had a camera, that would be like cabaret.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Are the other comedians that you're performing with, do you feel they vary in style to you quite much or greatly?
Yeah, in like quite a dramatic way, we're quite different, but it seems to be quite complimentary. Mimi's a Syrian immigrant. She works as a social worker, and she's like very sassy, and she doesn't take shit from anyone, which is completely opposite to me. Everyone just shits on me. And Simon is this 50-kilogram little white guy who plays music and fights Muay Thai. So they're all very different outlooks on life, and I know we connect, and I think that does come across on the stage.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is it that you felt like drew you guys together? Because, by the sounds of it, given that you titled your show after the idea that you just discovered that you've become friends. So you weren't friends already, like you weren't like time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we all sheepishly came together for the festival. None of us really wanted to do a festival show.
Safety in numbers.
Yeah, yeah. So we sort of huddled together like lambs and did our festival show.
Totally understand.
Yeah.
A lot of strong comedians start. Celia Corlett started doing like shared shows with like Alison Bucks, and eventually you just sort of be the one that flourishes, you know what I mean? You know, push down or you use their heads and just like push them above them.
Well, I am curious to see what I'm gonna do next year. I don't know if I'm ready to take that leap.
Sure.
In the solo world.
It's a big leap. Yeah. Scary leap, guys. I know everyone who's up here feels really acts like they're really confident, but they're all shitting themselves inside.
Am I confident? I don't think I do.
You're probably the exception. Or you're getting up here and you're talking about reveries, and I'm just like, you're lucky that Westworld exists, so many people can be like, I know that word. I don't know what it means, but I know that word.
I don't really know what it means. Yeah.
Alright, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys,
you
love
it.
Alright, we'll keep going. We'll be back later. You haven't heard the last of him and his feelings. Right, we're going to bring our second guest on for the show. And I think you're going to love him. He's also a local. Put it all together. Put your hands together.
Put it all together.
Yeah,
whatever you've got.
Feelings
and
slam them together. For Aiden Taco Jones.
Thanks, mate. Oh, what's up, everyone?
Yeah.
Sick. It's exciting. Hope you guys are good. I just do stand up now, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to do some stand up for you guys, apparently.
We work this out in advance.
How's this, right? So I'm Australian, but I'm half Colombian. Where I come from originally, my mum was backpacking around South America when she was 22, and then she came back to Australia and she found out she was pregnant when she got back to Australia. What's that? Brutal. Anyone else cocaine babies in here? She fucked up. I love my mum, like she's amazing, don't get me wrong, my mum's the best. But isn't that dumb, unprotected sex in Colombia? In the late 80s. She's so lucky I'm not AIDS, man. That's crazy. 100%! I could have killed her instead of just ruined her dreams. Very lucky. She used to get angry at me when I was a kid. She'd yell at me doing dumb shit and be like, Aiden, why do you make these stupid decisions? And I'd be like, what was that, bareback backpacker? What was that, mate? Tell me why I'm stupid again? This is why you're stupid right here. This, me. 27-year hangover, you fucked up. Is everyone okay? I feel like you're a little bit stiff. It's alright. I'm just fucking calling my mum an idiot. She's seen these jokes. When I was I lived in London for a couple of years, she came over. I did a show in a brewery, and we got drunk as hell, and then in the show, I did these jokes, and then at the end of my set, I was like, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for my mum, Ann Gibbons! And she was like, hello. Side of the stage, she's the best. So I'm 27. Round of applause, who have we got now in their 20s? People in their 20s in here tonight? A few. I was about to be like, oh fuck, no one, but you guys are just not that excited about it. It's alright. Anyone in their 30s? Who we got in their 30s? Yeah, there we go. Fucking show you whippersnappers. 40s, people in their 40s? I feel like as I get older, I really thought I would think about sex a lot less. You know what I mean? Yeah, these guys are just already...
No.
I did a show a couple of years ago and there were two guys in the front door, like 45-ish, and when I said that, these two guys were like, nah, bro, it doesn't go away, it just gets weirder. That's terrifying. There was an old lady sat behind them who laughed too. She was by herself and she went, a lot weirder. Oh, God, man. I like sex. It's a great way to meet new people, isn't it? Sex. Really, gets expensive, but you know. I want to fall in love with someone. Of course, I want to fall in love with someone. That's what anyone wants. And sex can be, so like, sex is a part of love. And then it can be really scary because I met this girl when I was 20 and she was beautiful and amazing and I was crazy about her and I wanted the sex to be so good because it was like the first time and I got so in my head that when we went to have sex I couldn't get hard. It's not the funny part, but alright. Fuck you, a little bit. She freaked out, she didn't deal with it very well. She was like, what the fuck? Am I not pretty enough for you? What the fuck is wrong with you? And like, even after that encouragement, I still couldn't get hard. Isn't that interesting? Especially because now that's the only thing that gets me hard. Bit of emotional torment there. Or just a punch in the face. That's what I like. But it can be like, we've got to be honest about sex, of course, right? Because it's like, it can be scary, but you need to be honest, because how are people going to know what you want unless you tell them? They can't read your minds, you know? So it's hard, but you've got to. Like, about a year ago, I let a girl put a carrot in my butt for sex. I like to put for sex there, just in case anyone's like, for your country? Or for science? I was trying to calm, man. I know, we really ramped up the content of this set pretty quickly. Didn't we? But listen, it makes sense. No, it's not like, I know we've just met each other, but look, the male G-spot is in your butt, isn't it? Just a couple of knuckles, right? And I want that for myself. I think I deserve that. I'm a good boy. But I don't have anyone in my life that I can explore that kind of stuff with. And, like, you know, I'm single. Most of my friends are very busy. And I'm not going to carry a dildo around with me every day. Like, just in case, today's the day, you know? So I met this girl, we were in bed, and we were talking about, we had a similar scholarly interest in the topic, and she starts going like, alright dude, what about a zucchini, what do you reckon? She starts suggesting stuff, and I'm like, no, terrifying, they're huge. When I told this story in the UK, by the way, they call zucchinis courgettes, don't they? Which I get confused because of the J sound, I get it confused with aubergine, so sometimes I say the wrong thing. And then there's crowds full of British people going, don't put the eggplant in your butt, mate! Do not do that! She said that. And she was like, what about a carrot? What do you think about a carrot? So I was like, yeah, fucking, alright, I'm an explorer. I went down into the share house where I live, the kitchen area. I'm looking through the fridge, anyone's stuff, I don't care. I'm just trying to find an entry-level carrot. Entry-level, good, isn't it? I found one, brought it back to the room. We watched an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia before we got down to business, just to hold the carrot in between our naked bodies so we could warm it up from the fridge, isn't it? I'm not an idiot, right? And I've had a lot of questions about this after shows. I know you guys are curious, so I'll answer them now. Frequently asked questions, no condom, yes, Lou. Skinny end, 4 minutes. The weirdest one was after a show, some dude ran up to me and went, did you put it in the bin afterwards? Put it in the bin. I was like, dude, what? Because it wasn't my carrot, and stealing is wrong. You guys are a lot of fun, man. Thank you all very much. And Tucker Jones!
Yeah, you know, it's like 6:30 on Saturday, but come on, guys.
What's going on?
That's it. I couldn't get it to work.
Ah! Right. Should I just hold it?
Yeah, come on. Oh, for the audience listening, he was struggling with the microphone stand. It's not his penis.
As if anyone listening to the podcast is going to affect me going, oh, they're like, oh, he's got his dick out.
You know what
these people who listen to your podcast?
Carrot up your butt before this, so I need to contextualise.
That's true.
Alright, let's get the plug details out.
Mm-hmm.
What's the show?
My show is called The Aberdeen Flat. It's about a guy who lived within London who was a con man. So he told people that he owned our flat and pretended to be the landlord. I wrote a blog about him every week in secret, and he got arrested for fraud. Yeah, it's a good story. I was going to do the first half, so today would have been my last day, but I sold out 9 in a row, so I've added 12 more shows at Pilgrim at 9:30 for the rest of the festival.
There you go, guys.
Awesome.
Okay. Right.
Thank you. Yeah. And there's no the carrot stuff and that's not in there. There's all a bunch of different.
That's bonus.
The bonus content.
Yeah,
you guys just got a new little thing.
The carrot is not in there.
The carrot is not in there.
Yeah.
I had someone say to me, which is fucking terrifying, that like, because they were like, did you, like, what did you do to make it not, like, go get sucked in? And I was like, what? Mate, it's not like, it's a long thing, but they were like, no, the intestines like fold around. So if it had gotten sucked in, it would just be like go sideways and then I've just got a carrot stuck in my, that's terrifying.
That is.
So I know you guys are all on Uber, but don't try this at home.
Yeah, I mean, is that a thing?
I
think casualty wards are full of people.
Yeah, they're full
stuff,
of like light bulbs and just like random stuff.
It's
like
a vortex.
Yeah, I actually think that may be a possibility that could happen. I don't know. I'm not going to do it again. If I do it again, I'll make sure it's got like a handle on it.
Even if it's just a crack, that's just going to snap right off.
Yeah, look, mate. I don't know.
You gotta invest.
I just need to buy a fucking dildo.
Yeah.
Stop living my life like a fucking maniac MacGyver idiot.
Yeah, like, stop freaking me out.
A butt MacGyver. That's awesome.
A butt MacGyver. That's right.
That's the name of your next show.
Actually, I just did a show and I closed with that joke as well. And the MC afterwards was like, anyone got any questions for Turbo before we leave? And I was like, oh, here, another time I got asked by a dude, did you peel the carrot? And the MC went, the MC goes, yeah, on the way out. Which is so funny. So funny.
I love it. So we shared a space in Perth, right?
Yeah.
And I was like backstage while you were performing and freaking out over my own material. And I caught most of your show like through the door. Like, every so often, I told you this, every so often I'd be going through my own stuff and I'd just like ease over the door and be like, somebody distract me from my own inner thoughts. And it's a great show, guys. It's very funny. Really, like, some nice heartwarming moments in it too. It's really some lovely stories in there. And it's not just about, you know, the flat story. There's a lot going on. I think you guys will get a lot out of it.
I think my favorite, and this isn't funny at all, but my favorite crowd feedback from the show was I did it in this little cafe in Portugal. And there were 10 people in there, and then like an Irish family. So it was like mum, dad, and two kids. And after the show, the Irish like mum came up to me and was like, oh, you're just all about love, aren't you? And gave me a big hug. I was like, you fucking get it, man. Yes! The story's about a carrot, but it's also about love. It is. The carrot is the vehicle to transmit the true nutrients. The fucking... What am I talking about?
You almost had them.
That's a nice little carrot to live the people with.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you
guys.
We're out.
Oh god, sorry, let me get. Keep clapping until I get off the stage!
Alright, we've got one more guest. And they've come all the way to Canada. So make them feel comfortable.
Just now,
yeah. They're
just
all the way. Fine. Okay. And put your hands together and please welcome to the stage, Mr. Asif Gersh. Hi, everybody. Hello. I was just walking up to the stage, and someone over there went, all the way from Canada. And I went, yep, it's me. That's immediately ruining any sense of wonder that existed at that moment. What an international act. He seems very plain.
Hi. It's nice to be here. This is great. I'm Aiden who was just over here. I'm a huge fan of his. He's so funny. And that carrot story, the question that he said about someone asking if it was peeled, that was my question. The first time that I watched it, I had that in my head. And the only reason I wondered about it wasn't because I was so curious sexually about if it was peeled. It's because I was like, if it is peeled, how awkward is that part of standing in the kitchen together? Where you're just like hot in heaven, then you're like, get the carrot. All right, let's just... And then... standing there. Just thought I would do a visual joke to open this audio recording. This is a good show. Matt was saying that it's hard to Google his name, Matt Harvey, because that's a hard name, because it's such a, it's how do you Google a name? So many people have that name. My name is Asif Gerchak, which is hard to Google in a whole other way. People, like, look, if you can get it, you will find me, 100%. There's no fucking professional baseball player named Asif Gerchak. And I'm just going to go out on a limb here. There never will be. Ever. I wasn't it funny when Aiden had, I have jokes that I've written, and we might get to them. Wasn't it funny when Aiden was talking about his mom, and he was like, I gotta... what a fucking idiot. She had unprotected sex in Colombia. Like, really hit that hard. And I was like, that's weird. You don't usually see people being racist against themselves. It's a real moment in Colombia. Like, sometimes people are racist against themselves, but it's like in an ownership way. It's like when people are like, we're so cheap. And it's like a bit of a like, you're showing off for being thrifty right now. It's not usually like, ugh, my people are disgusting. Who would fuck one of them? It's a weird angle to take on. Here's the thing I wanted to talk about. Because I'm traveling, I'm on tour, I'm Canadian. That's why the sounds coming out of my face sound different than the sounds coming out of yours.
Yeah.
Except maybe the people wooing. Are you Canadian? Is that what that's called? Yeah? Where in Canada are you from?
Ottawa.
From Ottawa? That's cool. I'm from Toronto.
No.
did you just get bummed that I was from Toronto? Is that, okay, I'm sure that's, no. Sorry?
Are you a Leafs fan?
Am I a Leafs fan? No, I'm not a Leafs fan. Does that make it okay? Nobody tell her I hate hockey. Can't stand the stuff. I got it. Not because it's not a good sport, but because hockey games always play at the same time as comedy shows. So, but you're a comedian in Canada. You're like my audience. It's not, you don't like the hockey at all. I'm traveling right now, and I try to stay in touch with people because being on the road can be hard. And I'm in touch with, one of the people I'm in touch with is my sister. My sister has a daughter, my niece. She's 4 years old, tiny little thing. She's wonderful. She's the light of my life. My niece is this, like, golden, shining angel of just hope and warmth and other things that I'm supposed to say to show you that I'm not a monster and can connect with children, even though, you know, I definitely can imagine that some people can find them extremely fucking boring, you know? Like, they're just, but I love them. They're wonderful. I just love how they don't get any of my jokes. Okay. So, my sister texted me recently and was like, listen, this great thing happened. Your niece lost a tooth, and I did the most adorable thing. And then she sent me a photo. Now, you have the Tooth Fairy here in Australia, is that thing?
Yeah,
you got it, right? Tooth Fairy leaves you money under your pillow? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Does the Tooth Fairy leave anybody here anything else? No, right? Just money. Well, my sister disagrees with you and has decided to complicate things just a little bit. She sends me this text. She says, look at this adorable thing. And the thing that she did is that she left a note from the Tooth Fairy along with the money. Okay? So she says, look at how adorable this is. And she sends a photo of the note. Written in scrawling, colorful handwriting. And it says, thank you for this wonderful tooth. I love it. I'm going to use it to finish the drawbridge on my new tooth castle. And I was like, oh, totally, 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 totally. I see what happened. Oh, my God, totally. You said adorable, and you meant nightmarish. Because that is fucking terrifying, okay? You've taken something that we all knew was just our parents leaving us money and turned it into a night creature that comes into your room while you're asleep, steals bones from your bed, and lives in a house made of children's teeth. Okay? That is horrible. Why are we exploring this idea in this direction? What's the next note going to say? Is it going to be like, well, I finished the drawbridge, but I was short on molars for my spice rack, so thank you for this. I can't wait to grind your teeth over my food. You know? I was like, this kid's the child. What are you doing? And I don't know about you. I just never thought through the Tooth Fairy that far. I just knew it was my parents. I think if I ever had stopped to think about what the Tooth Fairy actually was, I just would have assumed, I didn't think it was like a night monster. I just thought it was like a tired public services worker. Just come to your school once a year and be like, hey kids, it's me, the Tooth Fairy. Bet you all thought I'd have wings, huh? Yeah, I don't have wings. I have a Ford Fiesta. That's a grown-up joke. You won't get that. Yeah. I'll do this now. So I'm touring around, and it was hard at first because I was I know I seem jittery. This is just my personality. I was more jittery than normal because when I came to Australia, I was just coming down from three different prescription medications at the same time. What happened is that I woke up about a month before leaving for this tour, and I woke up in bed and I had thrown out both my neck and my back at the same time because I don't have a fear of aging, and fate was like, oh, we can fix that. That's easy. Here. And so I was in all this pain, and I go to the doctor, and he gives me three different prescriptions. And my friend said, what's going on? I said, I got three prescriptions for my pain. And they were all like, buddy, three drugs, you got a party. And I was like, no, that's incorrect. you know anything about prescription medication? Because two of the drugs made me very drowsy, and one of them was a lotion, the least cool of the drugs. Right? It doesn't matter what it does. I mean, it could have not been a painkiller. A lotion could give you cool Beatles hallucinations. It's still not a cool drug. Sometime in the future, someone's going to invent a way to get high by solving math problems on an abacus, and we're all going to be like, poof, this is not a fucking lotion, am I right? So I was all jittery. I was coming down, and I couldn't handle the jitteriness well because I didn't know. I didn't realize that I was coming down from drugs because I didn't know I was high for a month. Because my problem is I was just out of it. I was just super out of it for the whole month. And that's not, it doesn't, like, I don't match the symptoms that are on the bottle, like the side effects. It's just me being fuzzy. So I, like, I'm not an idiot. I check the bottle, but I'm like, well, this says may cause drowsiness. This doesn't say may cause a fundamental sense of disconnect from the human condition. Yeah. So that can't be me, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, look, if you don't know what I mean, it's kind of like if you've ever been hungry but not known you were hungry until afterwards. So you just walk around all day going, why am I so mad at capitalism? You know? And then someone gives you a bagel and you're like, maybe the free hand of the market can solve this. I don't know. It's always weird to end a set by revealing to the audience that you're a socialist, but here we are. You've all been totally lovely. That's the end. Could you start clapping? Clap for me. Oh, yes. Please clap.
Wonderful. All right, let's talk about your show. I don't know why I put the mic in the sand. This is very awkward now.
It's fine. You can make cow poses.
You know, arms above the head. Superman. There's a few.
Aren't those both this?
Okay. Yeah.
So many visual jokes.
Yeah. Right. They're gonna love it. So what's the name of your show?
Oh yeah, my show is called The Only Happy Man in Sad Town. So because I like titles that sound fun and then sound like big bummer.
And when are you on?
I'm actually in this room that we're sitting in at the moment, the Tony room, and I'm on at 10:15 tonight, and then again on Monday, and then after that I'm on at 5:15 for the rest of the festival in this room. So
yeah, right, so if you don't mind staying up a little late, or if you don't have anything to do one afternoon, come out, check it out. It's a great show. I've seen it. So it's about essentially it's about like living in cities and feeling disconnected from cities. Right?
Yes,
yeah.
But it's way less. It's way more fun than that makes it sound.
It's hard to define sometimes.
Well, because it's like it's just stand up that I've tossed a loose thematic rope around.
Yeah. Well, that's
like, I didn't like
that's
write
most
loose
of the shows in this.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm just my loose thematic rope. My lasso is tied much worse than most people. What I've been telling people is that the
that's
show
that's a lasso more of a noose.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a noose that I'm desperately pulling tight. They like strangle. I've been telling people that the show is loosely about me struggling with the fact that people in big cities want to be in shitty moods all the time, and I struggle against that, and then I mostly lose, but I think the struggle makes me very valiant. In my pitch to strangers in the street.
They're into it.
Yeah.
They're like, at the very least, he knows how to sell his show.
Yeah,
he seems
brave.
Yeah. Beautiful. Great. That's fantastic. We're going to get into the final portion of this.
Okay.
So if all the acts to come back on stage. We'll give them all a microphone.
Is anybody like, how many microphones do they have back then?
It's like a clown car.
It's just microphones coming out of everywhere.
It's
so
weird to come onto stage. I don't know you didn't ask for it, but just like to come onto a stage to silence.
To silence, yeah.
And just be like,
that means he wants you to clap, guys.
Don't let this man bully you. Have some self-esteem.
Believe me.
Yeah,
have
some self-esteem, you fucking nerds.
We make a great good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, I'm just standing here the whole time. Be different cop.
You're the chief that can't control us.
I fucking love bullying, man. I'm all about it. It's a lot of fun.
You just lost the audience.
That's fine.
Well,
okay,
like, we're not coming to your show anymore until you bully them, and then I'll try and walk up.
I love the way bullying totally didn't traumatize me in high
school. Hey, I grew up as a ginger, so I know all about it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So for this final portion, yeah, go.
You look like Snow from Snow Informer.
What? Wait, what?
You know Snow Informer?
Oh my God! You mean the old hip hop, the white, scatting hip hop song? Wow. I mean, that doesn't, surprise me. People on the podcast can't see me, but I'm the statistical average for hipsters in the Western world. So, no surprise there.
That's all right. They'll just Google you.
it's fine.
What else? Mum bought a tape of reggae songs for the car, and that was one of the songs on the tape, which is like, how is that song reggae? They were really scraping the bottom of the barrel there. Hey. Someone was just like, people like Bob Marley, let's make a tape.
You could have just done the best of Bob Marley, it'd be fine.
People would have bought
that. How did you run out of reggae?
I know, this is so much. He had like 2 million kids and they're all fucking reggae artists. Figure it out.
Just Google Marley.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be fine. All right, if each of you could pick one audience member to like play for. So whoever sort of walks away from at the end of this with like the closest equivalent to a point. Because you might not necessarily get it's a quick news quiz. So I don't expect you all to know the answers, but if you come up with something silly, that'd be great.
Can we represent?
Yeah, you can represent someone from the crowd. Pick someone from the crowd.
Oh, that dude who wanted my fly before.
Oh, yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah, I think you.
Am I sitting in the second row?
Yeah.
What was your name?
The very surprised
what?
One.
Wendy.
Wendy.
Oh, we got Wendy.
Yeah. What's the dude's name?
My name's Ben.
Ben.
You didn't say his. Well, my name's Ben. I'm in a meeting, Ben.
He's a Ben.
Okay, one more. Hey, Ottawa, you want in on this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, also, you want in on this?
Yeah. I need for once in this fucking show, I need someone that when I go, has anyone been to Toronto, says yes.
It's a very far distance from here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not mad at all of you. I had to pay plane fare. I need nothing but cheap sushi for 4 weeks.
Yeah, but that's how we just do it in Melbourne anyway. Like, get all the cheap sushi. All right, so I've got a few questions here. And do your best. Do your best. All right, so...
Do you have a ding-dong or something?
Just go...
just yell it?
Yeah, just give me what you got. I'll be watching. All right, so, you know, the superbug epidemic, you know, they're talking about the superbugs, how we're taking too much, too many antibodies and it's going to create superbugs. Well, they recently found out something that might save us from the superbug epidemic. What did they find?
Kale.
I wish. Anyone got a thought on what it might be? You're never going to guess. It's ridiculous. Is it that global warming will murder us all before we ever have a chance to die of superbugs? That's technically beating the superbugs.
Thank you.
It's actually platypus milk.
What?
That's a response.
If it's got nipples, you can milk it.
So they found out that there's something in platypus milk that is able to sort of fight off some of the superbugs. Until, I guess, they evolve to destroy the platypus.
Someone's got the most gorgeous little job just milking.
Yeah, just every time.
I wonder what way around they did that. Whether, like, did they go, okay, we need this chemical to fix the superbug, oh, it's in platypus milk, or does some scientist go around to every animal,
just
hold over
it.
A bat, and go, give this to sick people!
They just milk, like, every animal.
Yeah. It's like a Noah's Ark of milk. They're just out there.
Have you
like
tried
somebody.
The eye juice from a cow?
Man, you get desperate enough, you'll do what you have to do. There was a woman who was reported missing, and she turned up on it as a contestant on a TV show. Which TV show was it?
Oh,
someone knows.
Oh, I know.
Oh, you know? Oh,
no. Married at First Sight. That was a serious guess.
Oh, sorry. I'll say
Big Brother.
Although that's a reasonable.
Okay, I'm gonna go with statistical odds based on the number of people on television. Say it was the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
As a contestant, just quarterback.
Yeah,
oh,
she was streaking.
I mean, we clearly don't know if Ryan had good jokes.
That's all right.
There was
someone just said it. Someone was like,
Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune was a good joke. But it's about like,
yeah.
It's
about
like,
she disappeared.
Yeah, she vanished.
And she was in training for it.
Yeah, she couldn't tell her. Their mum reported her missing.
Okay.
And then she turned up on a TV show and all these people were like, oh, there she is. And so she like finally got to tweet at her mum, and the tweet was great. So it was like, Mum, how many times have I told you I don't get self-service on The Bachelor? That was a way of contacting her mum. Like, she's been disappeared. So, yeah, she vanished in like November.
Yeah, she signed like an NDA and then dropped
the
show.
She went on the show and
just didn't tell anyone.
What a man!
Yeah, right?
Oh my god!
So her mum's like, oh, my daughter is vanished.
That's outrageous, but that's better than, I thought she had vanished and then appeared on the show on like the first day of filming. And I was like,
let me get this straight. So she showed up and was like, I have a bit of baggage.
Just a background extra in Neighbors or something.
Yeah.
All right. You'll probably all be able to guess one of these. This is a long list. So what can we add to China's long list of banned things?
Internet.
Fun.
Yeah, those both accurate.
China's long list of banned
things. They recently banned a bunch of things after they went for the lifelong
presidency. Don't you have like a fucking... They like write each other's interactions or something? Now it was like an episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah, they started doing that shit.
Yeah, so you like... And then someone... I was sitting with people and they were talking about that because they were like, it's like... You have interactions with people and then you rate them so they get a score, like an Uber score, and then it's like that, but in society, and someone else sitting with it is like, yeah, we already have that, it's called a credit rating.
Solid.
There's some social network that they just cut off.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was like Reddit or one of those that's like been like
yeah,
a long way through. I don't know if
it's
Black Mirror was
there. They won.
I was in Beijing Airport and I didn't realize that all of that shit was blocked, and the only way that I could talk to any of my friends for fucking 8 hours was on this Chess with Friends app. The only thing that wasn't blocked. I felt like I was trapped inside of like crystal ball messaging up and going, help, I'm stuck in Beijing, I can't talk to anyone.
And also, I got booked tonight.
Yeah, also, you suck.
Yeah,
I'm like beating him and getting cocky and I'm stop talking to him.
I mean, I honestly, Aiden, we're friends and I like you so much, but nothing has ever sounded more privileged than saying, oh my god, China's internet censorship is so bad that I couldn't talk to my friends for 8 hours.
Dude, but you tried fucking sitting in an airport without internet for 8 hours. It's boring as fuck. You all laugh now, go and do it. There's nowhere to jerk off. There's nothing.
It's just so hard to have an international travel layover.
That's impressive. That's impressive.
Alright. So we hit on a few of the things. So, not quite blocking all of Weibo, but they blocked certain words. So like disagree, personality cult, lifelong, immortality, immigrate, shameless, all these things. They blocked the letter N.
Did you just say they blocked, sorry, I zoned out for a second there. Did you just say they blocked immortality?
Yeah, the word immortality.
Oh, the word.
So,
oh,
yeah.
You can't search online. Can't search, like, immortality porn.
No.
He just said they blocked the letter N.
The letter
N. Can't
search
anything.
Yeah.
Can't search his name.
That is nuts.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff.
I love Chinese politics through the lens of Aiden.
This is a whole new podcast. Right, let's keep going. Alright, yeah, this one's good. So, InfoWars and Goog, what do they have in common? Yeah, the website.
InfoWars and Goog.
Goog, yeah, that's
Goog.
Yeah.
That's InfoWars.
Yeah, Goog Paltrow's website.
InfoWars is this thing that Alex Jones,
yeah.
Who's like a maniac right wing dude that just rants into a camera, posts some show called InfoWars. And what's
Goog? Goog's Goog Paltrow's wellness.
They're both fake.
Oh yeah, correct. Yes,
they both
sell a whole bunch of like wellness products and food and
that
shit that you get.
They both sell the exact same products, just rebranded for their market.
Oh, that's so sick.
Yeah, so like one particular one. This was the one that was the best one. So there's a website called Moon Juice, and they sell one product that they call sex dust. But on InfoWars, it's called Super Male Vitality.
And it's actually just sand. The product
probably,
is just
sand.
You can fuck now.
They have one that like go and goop. It's called like a meditation stick. And
yeah.
Of course, they just call it a gun.
Yeah. That's a good bit.
That would be a
really
fun
bit. So, which pop star inspired a Brooklyn beer brewer to name a beer after them?
Jay-Z?
Close.
P. Diddy.
Not as close.
Snoop
Dogg.
No,
Beyonce.
Beyonce?
Beyonce?
All
the answers. She's been like 6 years all the answers up front. Yeah, Beyonce.
I just
want
to point out that a podcast where you ask people questions that they don't know the answers to is real bad radio. All these fucking stuff, and what is the answer to this? And everyone's just like...
I love that.
People at home are like, is my phone broken? What the fuck is going on?
Somebody knows the answer. We just haven't given her a microphone.
Yeah,
exactly.
we were just like, let's get a woman who knows all the answers and then give a bunch of men who know nothing microphone.
It's called Mansplaining the Podcast.
It's a podcast of life. That's it.
That's
fucking
real
funny. No, yeah, so they called it Beyonce. Beyonce. I-E-R. Yeah, it's really horrible.
Yeah.
And then her legal team hit her with a cease and desist. put the kibosh on that.
But that's such a good... She's dumb, man. That's a good bit of promo there. She even has that line in her song, y'all say y'all in your mouth like liquor. It's like, fucking... Just allow it.
Just
know?
Allow it. Maybe she got on the back end, eh?
Yeah, drug in love, exactly.
Alright, we might do this one in a, like, closest without going over stuff. So, how many... So does a German bank have spent how long counting 1.2 million pennies, which were handed in by a family, after the death of the father who had collected them over 30 years?
1.2 million seconds? Seems like a reasonable calculation.
Sure. 14 years.
14 years?
Oh, well, now I feel stupid about 8 months.
That's without going over.
8 months? Can you count them by hand?
Yeah,
that's,
by hand.
Again,
yeah,
very...
5 months.
Yeah,
but he wasn't doing
it
the whole time.
It depends how committed
he was.
Because if he like, if he's like, all right, I've got this bag of pennies, I'm quitting my job to count them. Like, this is your hobby.
And he's just got like a straw in food. And
yeah. Or if he still does some work at the fucking McDonald's or whatever.
Are we counting the time that he spent having terrifying nightmares where he was trapped counting pennies for all the time?
I'll give you an allowance of a couple of months for that.
No, okay. I'm sticking with 8 months because I have no idea.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
He spent 6 months.
Oh,
6 months.
That's pretty close.
Came to it was 2.5 metric tons of pennies.
Yeah.
And it came to 8,000 euro.
Could they not count those at the bank?
A lot of them had to be like cleaned and.
Like, I mean, there's got to
be a bit away than literally like set
yeah,
up the table.
I'm sure a lot went through.
Wait, did you say 2.5
metric
tons?
Tons?
That guy spent 6 months counting pennies, and then one person with a scale was like, also,
yeah,
2.5
yeah.
metric tons.
That's the thing. Just like, how much does a penny weigh? 2.5? All right, we've got a ballpark figure. And then what are you going
right.
to do? Like, give them all the money? No, just take them in. Just go like, I need to buy a Coke. Here, I'll take this bag of pennies. Down there. Like that.
We've got a couple more.
All these people sound dumb.
Yeah.
I'm smarter than all of them. I'm the best and they're stupid.
Well, that's why you'll never end up as one of these questions.
What about platypus milk?
That person sounds visionary.
Yeah, platypus
milk.
Platypus milk is pretty amazing. So an Indian surgeon was suspended after he used what item to prop up the head of a patient who had just had his leg amputated.
Oh, what now?
Oh.
Sorry, can you say the question
yeah,
again?
Yeah. So an Indian surgeon was suspended after he used what item to prop up the head of the patient who had just had his leg
amputated?
The
leg.
Patient's
the
leg.
Oh, amazing!
Yeah.
I was going to say,
it's the guy's own leg.
That is nuts.
He's not using it!
Oh, I'm sorry, if he's already going to cradle it and cry.
Yeah. No, he wanted to mount it and stick it above his fireplace. He inconsiderate fuck.
Well, you can request to receive things that have been taken off or out of you.
Yeah.
It's a long process.
What would you do if your leg got amputated? What would you do with it? I would probably want it.
You could. Like, it could be like the toe. You know that toe in Ireland, is it? Where people travel all the way out to that bar to take a shot with the toe in the shop.
Oh really?
Yeah, and you got like the toe has to touch your
what?
Touch your lips. Yeah.
There's a toad.
It's really old too, it's not.
Yeah,
you can see the show around that.
Really
and it's so the toe touches your mouth when you do a shot.
Yeah,
it has to.
How is it still there? It's in the alcohol.
What's the significance of the toe?
Oh, I think it's just like a thing chip.
Whose toe?
That's a good question. I don't have that answer.
I would donate my severed leg to a mini golf course.
That's way funnier than you guys ever. That's nuts, because I played mini golf 2 weeks ago. And they're all like that. It's just like a dude with a bunch of stuff. Like, I'm putting it all in my mini golf course. What have we got here?
Would it be a putter or would it be just a little thing? Would
it
be like a?
Yeah.
Oh, I was picturing it as an obstacle, but
I like the idea
of giving a bunch of kids regular putters. And they'd be like, which one of you has the biggest hands?
All right, we're nearly done. So you can live stream footage of what from Iceland? There was a face like you might know.
I just thought of the last time I thought of the education system. It's like, and we'd all learn something, although we have to speak.
Yeah. Is this part of the weird slow TV thing that they're running into?
Nah,
oh, okay.
Slow TV.
Although, technically, I guess it would count as slow TV.
A glacier melting.
No, it's great.
I don't know about that, but I know there's a live stream of Temple Bar in the middle of Dublin where all the fights happen, and you
really?
Can watch it on St. Paddy's Day, and it's
that's
fucking
fantastic.
Mayhem, they're animals, man.
There's a live stream of Abbey Road, the crossing at Abbey Road,
yeah.
And you can watch people try to do that in the middle of traffic.
Well,
and
that's
the best.
Is it possible to live stream the bar in Ireland subtitled in Icelandic? Is that what it is? Is it their feed of the Irish bar? I love that.
No, so in 2009, the last cheeseburger that was bought from the McDonald's before it closed has been placed in like a container, and you can it still looks edible.
Oh!
And you can just, like, it's just constantly live streaming.
Just watch it,
it's been given to, I think, a museum, and
that's
they've
like,
just set up a live stream. You can just
it's like one
this.
Of those things where someone takes a picture of themselves every day, except
yeah.
the person never ages.
It's a picture of the selfie of Dorian Gray. It's just, that was good.
That was a good
that
reference.
Good, yeah.
I don't care, but I know it was a good reference. I was like, oh, that's smarter than
It's all right. No one else going
to
do that.
Oh, I got it. I just didn't want to go into a thing about how that means that there's a hamburger somewhere doing horrible things.
No, I like that. There is, though. It's every McDonald's that you
can yeah.
go two more, and then we'll finish up. What has been found to improve staff morale in workplaces?
Fucking.
Yeah? I'll give you that, yeah.
I wonder what Aiden's thinking.
He's just hungry for carrots, that's what's going on.
Like, this is obviously besides, like, raisins.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
non-conventional.
Okay.
I work with my parents.
So fucking.
The opposite.
Well, this would be doing something for you then, if this counts to your workplace. It's voodoo dolls of your bosses. Yeah, right? Yeah.
What if you were in a voodoo doll factory?
Then they're just making one of you as a box. And this last one. So what's the most unexpected positive result after the release of Black Panther?
The most unexpected positive result?
Yeah, I found it quite a surprise, so we're going on a pretty objective, subjective scale.
Sorry, yeah. I'm so nervous to say anything.
That's probably wise. I'll give you a point for that.
I'm assuming
go ahead.
That it has to do with an audience that was receptive to it that we didn't expect.
Oh, no, that's a good answer.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be like, it's testing great with the KKK.
Logical. Very logical. No, I'll save you all the trauma of having to guess. There's been an uptick in adoptions of black cats from shelters. Yes. Yeah.
What's the movie about? Are there cats in the movie?
No, it's just Black Panther, so people want to...
It's so funny. If you see someone with a black cat now, you just know how much white feels
like. But the same uptick came out in the 80s when Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats came out also.
So that means that people, yeah, there's no cats in the book. There's a guy dressed as a black cat.
Yeah.
So are people adopting cats and then trying to rip their skin off and be like, I thought you were in there! He's the king!
Alright, so just based on. Yeah, we'll come through. There's like three people in this audience who said Black Panther. Alright, so based on the answers, I think the winner was us.
What?
Yeah!
I don't know what's up! We'll have your. Some contact details for you in a second.
Yeah.
And thank you everyone else for coming. There is one more of these for this festival. We've got a different lineup of guests. It's much less masculine, if that's your thing. And but it's going to be great. They're an amazing lineup. It's tomorrow night. And please, come back. Have a good time. Thank you so much.
No!